You're listening to Monitor 65, which is ample proof that there's something more than spring in the air. But wherever you're enjoying this fine spring day, stay informed and entertained with music, the latest news, sports, and interesting personalities. I'm your host, Barry Nelson, and in about 3 minutes, our special guest, Ed Wynn, reflecting on many things, his 63 years in show business, his personal life, what it means to have money, many things. As you know, Mr. Wynn is a genuinely warm person, and we're going to spend time with him after we hear the orchestra of Jimmy Bowen and this tune, The Golden Eagle.
By the Coca-Cola Company. We are now at Checkpoint Bernie here in Yuma, Arizona. So far, only Try Bledwood has ended up in the repair pit. We're going to try to Try. We're going to try to talk to Try. Excuse me, my thirst here in Yuma's got the best of me. I'm going to pause for a Coke. I tell you, when you need something more than just a soft drink, it's Coca-Cola. The big, bold, unmistakable taste really refreshes you. Try it. Try Bledwood.
Yeah, here, Kevin Mosquito.
What wore out your soul, Trot?
Well, carrying my boat, the Zuma Jim, too, across those last 14 miles of pointy desert rock toward the bottom to make the peace.
I see. How many miles did you have to carry the boat?
Must be something like 130. I run out of coke after the first 60 miles. Otherwise, I never would have tried that shortcut across the rock sand. Saw Zam and Minsterman carrying their boats running like jackrabbits. Yeah, he's fixing a sneak there. Good. Yeah, run out of coke, and you know... What was I? What was I saying?
Thank you, Try. That's all from Yuma. We'll be back later from Omaha.
In the acting profession, where fame is fleeting and fortune more so, it's an enormously gratifying thing when an actor maintains success generation after generation, and when he also succeeds as a person for as many years, and when he dares even to become a different kind of actor later in life. All these things Ed Wynn has done, and we're very happy that he could be our monitor guest. And here's his conversation with reporter Barbara Walters.
Mr. Ed Wynn, you are now a mellow and it seems very active, 78 years old. How do you spend your time these days?
Working, acting. I love to act. If I have any spare time, I visit my 5 grandchildren. Last year, I did, I think, 8 TV shows and 5 motion pictures.
There are few people in any field of entertainment who have had the phenomenal success that you have had. Phenomenal in that it just seems to go on year after year. Do you have a format of success that you could offer to younger people?
Well, not actually. I think that an actor or an actress in the first place is only so good as the public acceptance of their endeavors. And aside from that, I do have a format which would be just as good advice for young actors and actresses as it would be for a man who wanted to open a jewelry store eventually, or a boy who wanted to be president. And it consists of two words. One is goal. A boy, a young boy, a girl who wants to get someplace, they make a goal. Now, the only other word that I connect with that has great importance is persistency. If they are persistent through life, I think they'll go as far as their brains will carry them.
What do you find today, as you look back, have been the greatest satisfactions in your own life?
My life has been like there have been dales and valleys, and there have been mountains and hills. It hasn't been smooth. As a matter of fact, my personal life, I would say, were God to offer to me over again, I wouldn't accept it. My theatrical life, on the other hand, I would grab at. I think it's been one of the most exciting lives. I wouldn't trade it with any actor living or any actor I'd ever read about. It's been a most exciting experience. And I've enjoyed my visit on Earth for that, if for no other reason.
You're such a warm and happy and really sweet performer on stage with your giggles and your soft ways. Are you a happy, easygoing man off stage?
Yes, yes. I had many years of the poets like to call a pagliacci life. I was a pagliacci for years. But I would say that I've been granted a reprieve from that, because in the last 7-8 years, I've had a contentment that satisfies me overwhelmingly. I'm delighted with it. But aside from that, I get great compliments when I walk down the street. And probably the greatest thing that's happened to me is this new generation, the kids who have seen me in some of the Walt Disney pictures. I can't go any place that they don't holler, "Hello, Uncle Albert," to me. And I doubt very much if any man who has been in the theatrical world 63 years, that kids would know who he was, you know. Does that answer that question?
It most certainly does, and I think you're right. I can't think of anyone else whose career has been as long and who is as well-known and well-loved by so many generations. Mr. Edwin, are there particular advantages in growing old? Can you say things perhaps you weren't able to say before?
Yes. Yes, there are many advantages. A man, one advantage of old age is you can say darn near anything you want, and it will be accepted as the wisdom of experience. It will either be accepted as wisdom of experience or excused as the ravings of a senile nut, you know.
Back in 1922, when radio was in its infancy, you were one of the first big stars to appear in this medium, to take a chance on it. And you were also one of the first big comedians to try out television on a regular basis, and you still, of course, do appear on it. What are your views today on radio and television?
I think radio has been one of the greatest inventions of all time, and it still is workable, because there are so many people in isolated or isolated sections of the country who actually their only friends are what they hear on radio. As for television, this is a tremendous monster. It devours everything, especially material. Many of the stars that you see today made their debut on my show, not on what these other contemporary fellas tell you they made. Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz made their debut with me. Dinah Shore made their debut with me. Joey Brown, Buster Keaton. Oh, I could go on. A lot who have passed away. Carmen Miranda, John Charles Thomas. The public has always accepted me. Therefore, I must say that I believe it's because of cleanliness. And I noticed last year, as everyone in the country must realize, that the two pictures that won all the Emmys were the two cleanest pictures in America. My great friend's picture, the Mary Poppins, and My Fair Lady. None of the dirty, the risque, the great dramatic pictures that are accepted as works of art, they didn't get it.
few sons of famous fathers achieve fame on their own. One well-known exception is your son and your only child, Keenan Wynn, and I think this is a credit to you, Mr. Ed Wynn. What do you think it was about your relationship with him that allowed him to make his own career as a comedian without either copying your style or resenting your own enormous success?
At a time in his life, when he was a young boy, he did resent my success because he found it very difficult to become an entity, so to speak. But I would say that I had nothing to do with whatever success Keenan has achieved. Quite the contrary. He did as he pleased and did what he wanted to do. I was of no help to Keenan. Not that I didn't want to be. I love Keenan very much. More than very much. He's my only son. I'm crazy about him. But I think there were periods in Keenan's life when he felt being the son of a famous man was a dreadful thing. He wanted to change his name once, at one time. And I begged him not to. I said, this is a good name. It's a great name for you to have. And so that I would say that Keenan has had more to do with whatever dramatic success I have achieved than I've ever had with Keenan's career.
Today, your grandson, one of your five grandchildren, Ned, who is 24, is also in show business and in movies. I wonder if he has ever sought your advice, and if he has, what you've told him.
I told him the same as I told my 20-year-old grandson, who is now finishing college out in California. I tell all the young actors and actresses who ask me for advice that there's only one advice to give: save your money. That's all I know.
Did you save your money, Mr. Wynn?
Well, I saved enough. See, I'm alone. I'll never need any money. I know that. Yes, I have enough. I have, I was a multimillionaire twice, but I lost it and made it again. Money has never been any great problem with me, and probably that's why I'm happier today than a great many people.
Thank you, Mr. Ed Wynn. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. This is Barbara Walters reporting for Monitor.
I don't know about you. I could listen to that man for as long as he felt like talking. Ed Wynn, the old fire chief who showed them all that he could not only make them laugh, he could move them deeply as a dramatic actor.
There is nothing like a lark, nothing like a lark, nothing like a lark.
I enjoy lark. Flavor stays there, taste is right.
Nothing like a lark.
Only Lark's filter has two outer sections plus an inner chamber of charcoal granules. Lark, richly rewarding, uncommonly smooth. America's most popular new cigarette.
There is nothing like a lark, nothing like a lark, nothing like a lark.
In answer to that old question, what is so fair as a day in June? I'd say several days in June, when America's most ambitious venture into space will occur. Another Project Gemini flight, this one of 4 days' duration. NBC Radio and Television will again provide complete and continuing coverage from liftoff to recovery. Chet Huntley, David Brinkley, and Frank McGee will be the anchormen. Covering for NBC Radio will be Herbert Kaplow, Russ Ward, and Jay Barbary, and Ron Nesson. You'll be able to follow every step of the astronauts' flight during their 4 days aloft because you'll get up-to-the-second reports when you tune in NBC Radio and Television beginning the morning of June 3rd. Meantime, stay with us. Our feet are firmly on the ground here on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor Sports is brought to you by Chrysler Corporation's Customer Care Program.
This is Joe Garagiola. You know, I've been often asked what it takes to be a champion. Just three things: interest, talent, and training. You ought to like what you do, have some talent for doing it, and learn how to do it right. It's no different in anything you do. Chrysler, Plymouth, and Dodge dealers know this and believe in it. Interest? You bet. They care as much about people as they care about cars. Talent? That's there, too, with people who know what to do. Training? The best. By Chrysler Motors Corporation. Prove it. Just visit some of your Chrysler, Plymouth, and Dodge dealers. Service areas as clean as the work they do. Trained mechanics using Mopar and Chrysler parts. And certified car care, a kind of health plan for cars. A lot of them have pleasant waiting rooms, and express service for customers in a hurry. These add up to championship service called customer care. One more good reason for buying a car from a Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer. The guys who keep on caring.
Ben Hogan was named the outstanding professional golfer of the first half century, a fact wholeheartedly agreed with by Fred Corcoran in his new book. And Fred has spent most of his life around golf as a press agent, golfer's representative, tournament official, and director of international tournaments. A report from Monitor sports editor Len Dillon.
Freddie Corcoran, in your book, your new book on playable lies, you've picked Ben Hogan over Walter Hagen and the rest as the greatest professional golfer. Why?
The reason that I selected Ben was the fact that Ben won his first major title at the age of 36. He won 4 U.S. Opens. He won 11 major championships in all. He had power of concentration, and he never put a ball offline. He was down the fairway all the time. And he knew a golf course. After he played it once, he knew more about it than anybody.
Freddie, how do you think fellows like Hagen, Sowers, and Nelson, and Hogan, in their prime, and of course this is the inevitable question, would do against today's crop like Player, Lemer, Palmer, Nicklaus, etc.?
Well, I think that they would hold their own. I really do. And I think Hogan of yesterday and Nicklaus of today would be a dogfight. I mean, Hogan would just shake hands on the first tee and say, what ball are you playing, and that'll be it. But he'd have to beat Hogan. Hogan wouldn't beat himself.
Freddie, do you think golf is as exciting today, the golf circuit is as exciting today as it was, let's say, 20 or 30 years ago when you were fooling around?
No. No, I don't. I'll tell you what's happened to golf, Len. It's taking too long to play it. Mm-hmm. Now, one time we played 36 holes in one day, but you notice now the USGA have changed their format to 18 holes a day. The reason being the players are taking too much time on the putting greens, mm-hmm. and they're marking the balls. The USGA did not permit that 20 years ago, but now they're allowing that to happen. And the result is that we're playing five-hour golf because when a player three putts, he's already marked his ball three times. And that takes time, see?
Well, I know one thing. They can kill you on radio and TV when they start measuring and surveying and walking away and coming back.
I'm for the man holing out, putting out, holing out. When he gets on the green, the first man that puts them right up and putt out. Mm. Now, Gene Sarison still can play golf in 2.5 hours.
I would say that most pros can if they put their mind to it.
They certainly could, but if they're going to give them all this time, and the other fellow's going to do it, there's no point in you putting out and then waiting for the other fellow and getting fallen arches on the putting surface.
Freddie, about your book, Unplayable Lies, where'd you get the title from?
Well, Unplayable Lies hit me one day because there's nothing worse than Unplayable Lie.
How did you get Crosby to do the foreword?
Well, we were out on the coast, and I told Bing, I said, I have enough to a book, and I said, publisher said, you know, Bing Crosby. He said, oh, Bing, it'd be great. So I said to Bing, how about doing a little forward for a book that I'm doing? And he did.
Well, Freddie, as tournament director of international golf, I know you do a lot of traveling, and the amazing part is that you still had time to write a good book on playable lies, and all best wishes with it, Freddie.
Well, thank you, Len.
Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
And now a word about Shulton, makers of Old Spice for men.
Neat and quick, the freshest stick is the odorant stick by Old Spice. You're fresh each hour from shower to shower with the odorant stick by Old Spice.
For true deodorant protection from shower to shower, get Old Spice stick deodorant. Goes on faster, feels better, never sticky. A man's kind of freshness. That's Old Spice stick deodorant, just $1.
Fresh as a breeze, yo-ho, yo-ho.
For more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor. You're traveling through the weekend world with Springtime Monitor.
Sid Collins, are you just going to sit there?
It's too hot and sticky to move.
Why don't you buy us Bryant gas air conditioning like the Howards?
Oh, don't be funny.
Well, gas air conditioning really made it comfortable at their party.
Boy, it sure did.
The whole house was so comfortable, even their kids were sound asleep. Not tossing and turning like ours. Why don't we get Bryant gas air conditioning?
That's not a bad idea.
You know, Marge says since she keeps the windows closed, she doesn't have to put up with dust or street noises anymore. Why didn't you ever think of gas air conditioning for us?
Now, how in the world was I supposed to know that a gas air conditioner cools with a flame, or that it has hardly any moving parts to wear out?
Well, I'm calling the gas company about Bryant Air Conditioning tomorrow.
Oh, you're calling the gas company tomorrow?
Yes.
You know what they'll tell you?
What?
They'll tell you. They'll be right out. Why don't you call your gas company for a free air conditioning survey? Tell them Bryant sent you.
Andre Castellanet's playing I Ain't Down Yet, and I'm really not. How could I be in such brilliant company? I refer, of course, to all of you all across America who tuned in to Monitor on NBC Radio. In Asheville, North Carolina, you're listening on WLOS, up high in the land of the sky. I'll be back after a short break, and I'm your host, Barry Nelson.
This is Joe Garagiola. For a look at what's going on in the sports world, join me each weekday right here on NBC Radio.
Barry Nelson here with Monitor 65, the NBC weekend program whose motto is Your Wish is Our Command. Your wish within reason, of course. For example, if you wish for top quality comedy, you will have it from our specialists in satire, Nichols and May. If you're interested in the world of sports and want to know the latest scores and other news, you'll have that too in this half hour. And if you're in the market for the best of popular music, you don't have to wish at all. Here's Edie Gourmet.
Do I hear a waltz? Very odd, but I hear a waltz. There isn't a band in I don't understand it at all. I can't hear a waltz. Oh, my Lord, there it goes again. Why is nobody dancing in the street? Can't they hear the beat? Magical, mystical, miracle, can it be? I see you and I hear a waltz. It's what I've been waiting for all my life, to hear a waltz. La 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 la. Damn it all.
final tune of the new Richard Rodgers musical. And now, a message from Ford.
There's a new Ford waiting just for you at your Ford dealer's white sale now. Fill it out especially nice at a very special price. There's a new Ford waiting just for you.
And what a Ford it is. A full-size Ford Custom, specially equipped with white walls, vinyl upholstery, automatic transmission, and a big 240 cubic inch six. You get these specially built Ford Customs at a special white sale low price. So take advantage of your Ford dealer's annual white sale now. It's for a limited time only.
Go let your Ford dealer show you how you can save it. Buy right now on a custom Ford sedan. See your dealer, he's the man with a money-saving white sale now. Be a new Ford owner. See your local dealer for a white sale special. Do it now.
FBI headquarters.
FBI headquarters.
Thank you. I'll be glad to connect you to Mr. Hoover's office.
In cooperation with FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, NBC Monitor presents, as part of its National Alert series, information about one of the fugitives most wanted by the FBI. Melvin J. Bowman, Jr. Melvin J. Bowman, Jr. Currently being sought by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid confinement after conviction for first-degree murder. Bowman reportedly escaped from Kilby Prison in Montgomery, Alabama, in February of 1964, while he was serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. He has been convicted of murdering a robbery victim, reportedly has a .38 caliber revolver, and should be considered very dangerous. Bowman is 29 years old, 5 feet 6 inches tall, weighs 150 pounds, and reportedly walks with a slight limp. He is a Negro American, works as a laborer, a presser in dry cleaning establishments. If you have any information concerning the whereabouts of Melvin J. Bowman, Jr., who is also known as James Thomas, you are urged to contact the nearest office of the FBI, whose telephone number may be found on the first page of your local directory.
FBI headquarters.
FBI headquarters.
Thank you. I'll be glad to connect you to Mr. Hoover's office.
You've been listening to National Alert, information about one of the fugitives most wanted by the FBI, presented in cooperation with FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover.
Are you for rich flavor in a filter cigarette?
Make the logical move to L&M.
Hello, Martino has been moving toward the top section of the list of currently popular singers, and he's done it by singing songs both new and old. Here's one of the latter category, a longtime favorite. I never figured out whether it was a longing or a wish. Somebody else is taking my place.
Now shares your embrace while I am trying to keep them crying. You go around with a smile on your face. That you may, little you care how much I have paid. My heart is aching, my heart is breaking for somebody taking my place.
Mills and May, whose place no one can take, will be taking their accustomed places in just 5 minutes here on the Monitor Beacon. Barry Olson again, and before we move along with this portion of Monitor, I'd like to remind you that there's a lot of fine listening to be heard later in the day, too, when Gene Rayburn hosts Monitor for you. On his guest list, you'll find Gig Young, K-Star, former Postmaster General James A. Farley, and others. You'll learn about a teenage answering service, about a remarkable new camera, be amused by Nichols and May and Bob Newhart, be kept up to date on any important news developments, enjoy the best of the latest music. So just leave your radio tuned to NBC all through the day, the weekend, and the week two, for that matter. Well, why stop there? The content may vary, but the quality remains high year-round. All right, let's move along here. Here's Bert Camfort with Red Roses for a Blue Lady.
Rich flavor in a filter cigarette?
Make the logical move to L&M.
Next, Monitor Comedy Time. With Mike Nichols and Elaine May. In addition to fine characterizations, one of the things we've come to expect from Nichols and May is the unexpected. Once again, they come through.
Speak.
Yeah.
Where's my breakfast?
You've had your breakfast, ma'am.
I've not had my breakfast. It's 11 o'clock and I haven't eaten anything yet. I've been up for an hour. I'm supposed to have my breakfast at 10 o'clock.
Begging your pardon, madam, you did. You had your breakfast.
Please, don't drive me insane by saying that over and over. I've been sitting here for an hour like a stuffed dog, waiting to have some breakfast, and no one has brought me any.
Well, bring you another breakfast, madam.
But I didn't have the first breakfast, Rigby. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not insane.
We'll look at your pillow. There's jam all over it.
That's from yesterday, and why doesn't anybody change the sheets around here?
from this morning, madam.
It's not from this morning, Rigby. It's not. I know what I've done this morning. I've been sitting here and waiting for breakfast. Don't say that again.
Very good, madam. What would you like for your breakfast this morning?
Just toast and jam and things
and making
the tray like
we
usually do.
Very good, Mom. It'll be just a few moments, but I'll be back.
Rigby, I'm sorry if I shouted at you.
That's perfectly all right, Mother, as long as you don't shout at the servants.
Well, as long as it's all in the family. Nichols and May holding up a satirical mirror which reflects one of the basic truths of modern life, that it's almost impossible to find anybody to do domestic work. It's possible, however, to find somebody to perform the important task of keeping us laughing. Just stay tuned to monitor for more of Comedy Time with Nichols and May and Jonathan Winters throughout the weekend. Music next on Monitor, the latest one from Peggy Lee.
Pass me by, pass me by. If you don't happen to like it, pass me by. Lots of idle fingers snapped to my command. Fascinate. I'll tell the whole darn world, if you don't happen to like it, deal me out. Thank you kindly, pass me by. Pass me by, pass me by. If you don't happen to like it, pass me by. I got me 10 fine toes to wiggle in the sand. Lots of idle fingers snap to my command. A lovely pair of heels to kick to beat the band. Contemplating nature can be fascinating. Add to these, I know that I can thumb. And a mop by gum have I to tell the whole darn world. If you don't happen to like it, deal me out. Thank you kindly, pass me by.
A word now from the National Automobile Dealers Association, which points out the fact that when it comes to community service, you'll usually find your local new car dealer high on the list of those who contribute the most help and leadership. They participate in charity drives, promote youth facilities, donate cars to the high school driver training programs, and they urge you to join them in sharing the responsibilities that belong to being a good citizen.
Thank you.
Joe Harnell when Sonny Gets Blue. Now, Monitor Sports. Vanderbilt, with an 11-1 mark in conference basketball competition and a 19-3 record overall, is rapidly moving toward the Southeastern Conference berth in the NCAA tournament. At the moment, the Commodores hold a one-game edge over Tennessee. A report from Vanderbilt coach Roy Skinner and Monitor's Don Gritter.
Roy, tonight you play Alabama, and this could be a rough game. It was Alabama that upset Tennessee.
Yes, Alabama has a good team. I remember last year they upset Tennessee and Kentucky both in Tuscaloosa, and they have a real good team. They aren't tall. They are big. Their three frontline men are 6'5 and a little over 200 each, and then their guards are big. They're 6'4 and 6'3, and they could beat anyone in the conference on a good night.
Roy, which teams would you say would fall into this category, the most disappointing team in the conference this year and the most surprisingly good team?
Well, I think that Georgia has been the biggest disappointment to me in the fact that I thought they would be real tough. When we were down there last year, they beat us about 11 points right at the end of the season. They had all their players coming back except one, I believe. And they hit a streak this year where just everything went wrong, and they lost several games in a row. Then they got back up and started playing good ball. But overall, I think I was expecting more out of them.
Now, which team has surprised you in its proficiency?
Well, I believe maybe it's been Auburn. They have a real fine team, and one reason, I think, for their real prominence is Joe Newton. He has been a good player for the past couple of years, but that's it. And this year he has blossomed out into one of the finest centers in the country that I have seen, and they have a real tough team.
Roy, Georgia Tech recently dropped out of the Southeastern Conference, and Tulane has announced that it also is going. Do you feel this will hurt the conference athletically?
No, I don't at all. I feel like it will help. I have said for some time that our conference is too big to determine a real football or basketball champion. And with only 10 schools, I think we'll have a much better shot at the championship. I know in basketball, I feel pretty sure that the coaches are going to vote to play a round-robin schedule, which will mean we'll play everyone home and home. And that will certainly provide a true champion, which we haven't had in basketball for many years. And I'm not going to speak for the football side because I'm not well enough acquainted with their situation, but I don't believe it will hurt us in any way.
Speaking of this round-robin basketball schedule, you're not totally in favor of that, I know.
No, I'm not. I'm probably one of two coaches in the conference that aren't in favor of it, but I don't feel like we should play 18 conference games. We have a tournament here at Vanderbilt which makes 20, and if we play in another tournament, as we have in the past, the Sugar Bowl, the Gator Bowl, and some of the others, that would be 22 games, and we're only allowed to play 26, so that means we could only play four games other than one, say, that we would have to play. And I don't feel like we get to play enough teams in other parts of the country for us to compare this SEC with the other conferences, and I'm just afraid we'll get too wrapped up within our conference and lose some national recognition.
Roy Skinner, head basketball coach here at Vanderbilt University, thank you very much for talking to us, and best of luck in the SEC conference race.
Thank you, Don.
And now this is Don Greider in Nashville reporting for Monitor Sports.
And now, Monitor Sports Shorts. In college basketball, Army beat Navy 62-52 and then accepted a bid to play in the National Invitational Tournament. Western Kentucky also accepted an NIT bid. And meanwhile, St. Joseph's of Philadelphia, which defeated LaSalle last night, was named Middle Atlantic Conference representative for the NCAA tournament. In other games today, it was Fordham 58, NYU 52, Penn State 83, Pittsburgh 72, Kansas State 65, Colorado 50, Wisconsin 99, Michigan State 89, North Carolina 71, Duke 66, Kentucky 61, Tennessee 60, Purdue 76, Iowa 68, Ohio State 100, Northwestern 87, Bradley 77, Wichita 73. In the National Hockey League, Detroit 4, Boston 1.
And for more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor. And stay tuned for the latest NBC Monitor news at the top of the hour. This is Barry Nelson.
This is Monitor, the first and foremost weekend radio service on the NBC Radio Network.
Sure, the shamrock gets an Irish now will make you glad you flew on Irish International Airlines. It's the shortest route across the sea, delightful from the start, with Irish hospitality that comes right from the heart.
This is Anne Toulon, hostess for Irish International Airlines. On your way to Europe, fly with me. Come to where the skies of evening are slashed red, yellow, and pink above green hills and smoky blue mountains. Come now and breathe deep of our sweet Irish spring. Right now we can get you a round trip to Shannon for just $264. To Dublin, only slightly higher. Monday through Thursday, 14 to 21 day excursion rate. Call your travel agent or Irish International.
Sure, you're flying with the finest on the nicest, yes, it's true, on Irish International Airlines.
Start your day with Big Wilson on the Conversation Station, WNBC AM and FM, New York.